Student Ministry Conversations podcast. This podcast is all about equipping, encouraging, and inspiring youth pastors weekly with topics that are brought to the table by youth pastors from all over the world. And now here's your host for this week, Micah Marshall.
Hey, and welcome to the podcast. If this is your first time listening to us, we want to welcome you, invite you to go over to our website, studentministryconversations.org. You can find all of our previous recordings on the Student Ministry Conversations, the show notes, blog articles, hacks, just all this different type of stuff that you can check out and be able to look into. And our goal here at Student Ministry Conversations is that you are inspired, encouraged by the things you hear, that you learn something. And this whole podcast is based around being able to equip you to be a better youth pastor, student pastor, whether you're full-time, bivocational, it doesn't matter. This is just to help you serve the ministry that you're in. And super excited to be with you today. My name is Micah, one of the hosts here. And I am sitting down with my friend, my brother in arms, my dude, Johnny Burkhalter. Johnny, what's up?
Man, listen, dude, I'm just over here living the dream, trying to stay in skinny jeans, if skinny jeans are still cool. I don't know. The verdict is still out. But yeah, man, just loving life, loving Jesus, man. So pumped to be here.
Yeah, so Johnny and I met several years ago. He was at that time traveling, doing worship ministry. And since then, things have shifted and changed in his life over the last several years. But Johnny, tell us a little bit about where you're at. Tell us about how you transitioned from where you were to where you're at today. And just kind of a little bit, give us a little bit of an introduction of your ministry journey.
Yeah, sure. My wife and I, we've been in vocational ministry for close to 20 years, which tells a lot about my age, which I won't disclose my age. I won't say that, but you can just do math maybe. So for 20 years, been in the worship space. And I don't know, I guess 2021, I got a call from a friend and he said, "Hey man, I know you're a worship guy, but we really need a youth pastor." They were coming off the heels of COVID and all of that. And so they had a history of a thriving youth group, but you know, with 2020, all the things that happened there, they were kind of looking at restarting and rebranding. And so we prayed about it and I began to think about my own journey. And my story starts as a 15-year-old in a youth group at a conference somewhere, looking at the worship band, thinking they're the coolest thing. And so I began to just kind of connect the dots. And I thought, man, there's so much of my story that's connected to student ministry. And so it just felt like a natural fit for us to, even though we had never done it, like we had always helped, you know, we've done youth conferences, we've led worship at youth camps, all the things, but never kind of sat in the seat of a student pastor. And so we just said yes against maybe our better judgment, right? We just knew God was doing it. God was speaking to us to do it. And so we moved back from LA, well, LA County. I'm going to call it LA because no one's going to know the little Southern California town we lived in. But it was LA County for the record. My wife is watching this and says, "You didn't live in LA. It was LA County."
So,
street cred.
Yeah, Natalie.
So we moved back from LA to the Atlanta, Georgia area. And we sat exclusively kind of in a student pastor role for close to 2 years before kind of moving back into a worship kind of pastor space. But what was so just, I guess, seamless about that is what we have the opportunity to do now isn't just to oversee worship from an adult standpoint, but we get to oversee worship across all platforms. So any given day, I'm walking into a fourth and fifth grade environment and kind of getting to speak into their worship, or I'm walking into a middle school environment and getting to speak into their worship, high school, the whole thing kind of just trickles under our umbrella. And so it's so beautiful how the Lord kind of writes our story when we let him. So each and every week, along with shepherding our adult worship ministry every Sunday, we're always in a student space, whether it's in middle school or high school. We just split our groups up because God's just moving and growing. We don't use the word split. We use the word multiply. Words matter, right? So split's like, but I don't know, split. I mean, anyway. But so each and every week to this day, even though the title on my door may say worship pastor, we are in a student space every week, pastor. Worship and some, you know, and I like, you know, I like to say it like this: we're all in student ministry in some form, whether we know it or not, because chances are there's someone on your team that is a Gen Zer, whether you are, I mean, like, you might be like, we have a guest services team, and I guarantee you there's a 22-year-old on that team at the front door, or a 22-year-old in the cafe brewing a latte. Like, we're all shepherding and discipling Gen Z right now. Like, whether we are, whether it's hit us yet or not, like, so it's so important. I'm so grateful that we get to, not only do we get to sit exclusively in that seat for a while, but now we get to kind of have this overseeing role where we get to still have a hand in it and be connected to it. Because whether we know it or not, no matter what seat you sit in ministry, you are influencing the next generation. Like, you just are.
Yeah. Yeah. No, that's so good. That's so good. You know, one of the biggest reasons I asked you to be on this conversation with me and to talk is because, you know, worship ministry has always and will always be a very important part of our culture as Christians. We're going to be singing for all eternity, so we better like it. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Yeah.
But let me ask you this, Johnny, because you've been doing this for, like 20 years. We have seen a lot of different styles of worship come and go. We've seen, these are the days of Elijah with hymns, and then with like the modern Elevation and Planet Shakers, Hillsong, Chris Tomlin, all those guys. Why is it important that we foster a worship community in youth ministry?
Yeah, I think worship, it's bare bones is communicating with God, right? It's adoring the Lord. It's worshiping. It's giving praise and thanks to God. It's a line of communication to the Lord. And as much as we need the word is for us, right? The word is for us, but worship is for Him. And so when we remove that, we take away an opportunity for students to connect with God. And I think there's something about, John 4:24, for God is a spirit, we must worship in spirit and truth. There's something about the spirit and the truth that when they come together, something happens, right? And so let's say the truth is the word, because we know that's a fact, right? And then the spirit being our song, you know what I mean? So like you put those two together and all of a sudden something opens up in the room. So I'll say it like this. We had an opportunity recently where when we multiplied and we did middle school and high school, we thought, well, if we do this, we're going to have two worship teams, two production teams, all the things, literal multiply. And so we thought, well, do we just eliminate worship? And I said, no, like, I know that might be easy, but we're crippling ourselves, and we're taking away an opportunity for students to connect with God in such a way. And there's something about worship that softens the heart to receive the word. It just does. When I think about 15-year-old me, I'm sure I heard a million great messages. I'm sure I did. But I don't remember any of them. Like, I just don't, you know? But here's what I do remember. I remember being in the presence of the Lord. I don't remember the song they were singing. Like, is equal. Like, it's not about what we're saying or what we're singing. It's about the moment that worship creates. That worship creates, where we connect with God, where life change happens. It just is. It's a connection point with God, a line of communication like none other that we have. And when you take that away, you remove an opportunity for students to connect with God. When I look back, I couldn't tell you what song they were singing, but I can close my eyes and go to that place when I felt the presence of the Lord, and it set my whole life up. It changed the trajectory of my life, just having an opportunity to be in the presence of the Lord. So I think that's what worship creates. Worship opens up that opportunity for students to be in God's presence. And I think that's the biggest piece of it. Even if it's, it doesn't matter how it looks, right? And you mentioned Days of Elijah. That was my jam, dude. Like, I remember, I go that far back. The method changes, but the message, stays the same. And I think the heart of it all, no matter how you do it, whether you have a full band, whether you have a youth pastor that knows four chords on an acoustic guitar, it doesn't matter. I think the goal is we have to commit to giving students an opportunity to be in God's presence.
That's so good. That's so good. You know, and I know, like, anyone watching this that works with students, anyone that's in youth ministry culture, we know sometimes part of what we do is reading the room, right? Like, reading the room of where they're at. And so as an expert in, being someone who is able to lead worship. What are we supposed to do? How can you help us as leaders? And how can you encourage us when we're getting ready to read that room and that room is not looking real good? That room is not looking ready. Those attitudes are there. That tiredness is there. Maybe that resentment is there because mom or dad made me come, to the service. I didn't want to, or maybe I had a bad day. How do you help encourage or foster an environment to be like, okay, let's engage into worship? Because I know for me personally, that was a struggle for me early on, is to be able to know what to do with worship when I'm reading the room and be like, okay, like, do I do the slow song? Do I jump into the fast song? Like, what are your thoughts on this?
Yeah. Number one, expert is just a kind way of saying I'm old, but I appreciate it. I'll receive it today. One of my mentors, they said one time, we're not a thermometer. We're a thermostat, meaning we don't check the temperature. We set it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And so there's something about, and I'm trying to teach our students this right now, and it doesn't happen overnight, but when we commit to it, I think God can start to cultivate it in us. But there's, I think we don't wait for something to happen. We know that God has put in us the ability to lead students into a moment. Like last night, great example, we do a big Wednesday service. The first Wednesday of the month is like our big thing. We all come together, all the middle school and high school. And I'll jump up there and sing with them. But last night I just played the piano and I had all students on the front line. I think the oldest person up there was like 20, 21. But I had the talk back microphone, which is like a microphone that nobody can hear except for the singers. And there was a point where like, I could tell, like they're singing their hearts out. Right. And there's like 100+ kids just like looking at them. Right. And so, you know what I mean? It just happens. It happens. And I said, hey, invite them to lift their hands. Just ask them to do it. And the minute that the worship leader said, hey, y'all, can we lift our hands? They didn't say anything magical. They didn't say, Chandler Moore up there. It was just a random student who said, hey, will you lift your hands? Every single hand without hesitation went up because they were being led. And so I think we have to understand that God has given us the ability and the authority to lead those moments, right? So if you see them, sometimes they're going to happen. And that's beautiful where you can just walk up and they're worshiping on their own and the temperature is already set. But there's other moments where I think we have the opportunity to go up there and lead them into it. What does it look like to lead worship? I mean, I tell people all the time, I said, if we don't lead people in worship, we're just singing songs. Like there has to be a moment, and it starts in a student level. Cause I honestly believe you get students on fire. You get students, if they can get a heart of worship, it will spread throughout your church. I've seen it too many times. It just happens. So if you get students to understand this, adults will too, but there's a part of worship. Cause it can be awkward, right? It just can, like people like, especially with students, bro, like middle school. Oh my gosh. Like they will humble you. Like they will humble you fast, you know, but it's the leading part of worship where we have an opportunity to invite them, to teach them. This is what it means to lift your hands. This is what it means to, why are we closing our eyes? We're eliminating distractions. Why are we lifting our hands? We're letting go of whatever it is we carried in here. And we're giving it to God. Like, kind of explaining the why to what's happening in worship. And I've seen it, man, over and over again. When you just walk them through, this is why we're worshiping. This is what's happening when we worship. Like, God's going to meet you right here. You don't got to be perfect. Like, you can just be who you are, where you are. God's going to meet you. Something happens when we take advantage of that opportunity that we have to lead the moments. And they can happen every week. They may look different every week. You know, some weeks might be, cry night. Everyone's crying. Everyone's in their feels, whatever. Mm-hmm. Other weeks might just be a moment where we just pause and we reflect and we just are aware of God's presence in the room. But I would encourage every youth pastor, not just youth pastor, but even pastor, you are the head worship leader in your ministry. You just are.
That's good. That's
you
good.
You are. So, like, you show them how to worship by worshiping yourself, number one. But also, whether the worship team is skilled and they're the bomb.com or they're not, you have the opportunity to come up at the end of a worship set and lead students even for a moment into worship, whether you can sing or not. Like, you have the opportunity to come up there and say, hey, before the song ends, let's not make this about a song section. Let's make this about worship. And you have the opportunity to minister in that moment and bring kids into worship. And I think you would be shocked, because I've been shocked at how willing students are to follow in worship specifically. I think that this is a bigger, this is a whole widespread, like you could probably copy paste this in a lot of different, you know, lanes, but I've just seen it too many times in worship where if you just give them the opportunity and if you help walk them through what's happening, they're so willing and they're so ready to do it. And then when we just open that door, God does the rest, man. There's a tenderness to the heart of this generation. Like, all we've got to do is just lead them down the path, and then they take it from there. They really do.
Yeah, no, I love that. I love that aspect of really, you know, it having to do with cultivating the atmosphere that's there. I love what you said about, you know, being, you know, the difference between the thermometer and the thermostat, you know, being able to gauge that. And I'm a firm believer that we can teach a generation to have the spirit of expectancy. But we need to also teach them how to move forward in that expectancy. And sometimes it is, hey, let's all close our eyes. Oh, let's right. Cause you're talking to someone here who has zero musical ability, none whatsoever. When the Bible says make a joyful noise, that's me. That's the noise. It's not like a sweet melody before God. It's like, you know, it is noise. And so I had to learn very quickly, how do I cultivate worship, you know, and being the worship leader, but not being the one that leads the songs?
Yeah.
And I think it's so important because, like, you know, you'll have a difference between a middle school boy who's just like spinning in circles and not paying attention to a high school senior who's getting ready to graduate and has had such a deep encounter with God in the last few years that like they're right next to each other engaging. And you know, youth ministry is a wild atmosphere because you never know, like, you can plan for everything and everything you plan for will not happen. Like, that is youth ministry in a bubble. Like, we can have a plan, but like the plan can get thrown out very, very quickly, you know, and being able to do that. Now, you know, what about these small churches? You know, because like there's a lot of great churches out there that are big, that are huge, but like the average church is about 100. People in America, and like, you know, the average youth group is like 12 kids. You know, how do you encourage those youth groups that are smaller youth groups that might not have the band, that might not have this, not have that? Yeah. What are some options that like you can say, hey, if you're not doing worship, these are some things you can do to step into that?
Yeah. I mean, take your worship leader to coffee and ask him to hang out once a month. You know what I mean? Yeah. Start somewhere. Even if it's, you know, I know, When we were sitting in the youth pastor role, like exclusively, we only did worship once a month. That's all we could handle. Like the rest of the month was small groups and like hangouts, and you know there might be an acoustic guitar in a living room somewhere, maybe not, but it was that first Wednesday where we knew we couldn't do it every week. We couldn't produce it every week, but we could produce it once a month. So look at what you can do and start there. Even if it's just including it once a month, if you get your worship leader to come out once a month and lead a song or two, like, you know what I mean? Like whatever that looks like.
Well, even if it's like, you know, if you don't have someone capable of doing it, what about like throwing up a YouTube video that has those words? Cause I know for us, we did that. We've had moments where it's like, and it feels weird because you're like, it feels like spiritual karaoke, you know, because I'm like reading the words and I'm singing, but yet there is a level of engagement that that your kids in your group can move in on.
Yeah, sure, absolutely. Yeah, I mean, even down to that, you like you just said, create, even if it's one or two songs, you know, it might be weird to have 30 minutes of YouTube worship. I don't know, but start somewhere, and maybe once you get comfortable with one, you know, worship video, maybe you move to two, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And then like, just start somewhere. And I would encourage too, you know, if you've got small group leaders on any level, which hopefully you do, even at a small church, you know, there's a relational buy-in with a small group leader that cannot be matched. It just can't. You know what I mean? So if you're a church and you've got small group leaders, encourage them to worship alongside that middle school boy doing a backflip. You know what I mean? And show them how. Like I just you know, we're very fortunate here. We have an incredible crew, but I told our small group leaders a while back, I said, hey, y'all worship with your group. Like, let us be, like, we don't want to correct. We want to direct, like, as a worship leader. Like, it's weird if I'm like, you know, so I throw up my hands, yo, I'm about to, you know, like, it's weird. You know, I can't correct in that moment. Yeah. I can direct, redirect. Hey guys, let's focus in. But, you know, if you've got a small group leader or a system like that, that they can worship next to, even do a YouTube video, like, hey, go stand with your group. If you're a guy, like, even if you've got 10 kids, five of them are guys, five of them are girls. You got a girl small group and a guy small group, right? Mm-hmm. Have your guy small group leader hanging out with your guys, your girls with your girls, to show them, even in that moment, we're going to worship. I know that's Carrie Jo up there on a YouTube video, but, like, we're going to worship. Even from that, even on that level, like, creating layers of leadership in worship.
Yeah. Well, I think it's important too, because, like, when we show them that worship can be done in any environment, any situation, that, like, you can find, you know, there is that, like, I find a reason to worship, right? Like, I'm able to find my ends. If it's just me singing a cappella by myself, you know, and the heart is in it, you know, then that's what matters. And that's really what we can connect with. And, you know, I think so oftentimes, you know, and I know you and I have talked about this in the past. There's so much that we have to compete with sometimes as a youth culture, where we look at, like, concert venues, like, listen, I can't compete with, like, all of the concert type styles anymore. Like, we're so far behind that, like, I can't compete what it would be like to be at a Taylor Swift concert. I can't, like, to be, like, with, like, Snoop and Dre or whatever, Biggie, or even, like, King and Country or Carrie Jo. I can't offer you that. But what I can offer you is the opportunity to be in the moment to just worship the King of Kings. I can facilitate that moment, you know. And I think so much we get caught up in, like, oh, well, we got to have, when we were in youth group, Johnny, remember, it was all about the lights, the sound, the smoke machines, all of that type of stuff. And how much has changed over those last years, where here we are now in a culture that is so relational driven. So, and I want to say this, and not in a weird way, but, like, the intimacy of relationships, the intimacy of knowing each other and being able to do that. Yeah. That's Gen Z and Gen Alpha to, like, a T now of where we're at. And so, How can we encourage people, like, you know, even the setup, the practical setup? What do we need? What does that look like?
Yeah. I mean, you mentioned it. Like, I mean, it really is relationship driven. And I think more than maybe any other generation, the one that we're cultivating now responds to authenticity. Mm-hmm. I remember the one of the first conversations I had, I called a buddy of mine when we were stepping into the student pastor role. And I said, hey man, you got one thing that, like, you got 30 seconds. What are you saying to a new guy? You know? And he said, what you're saying. He said, our generation, we were consumers. We wanted to go to the concert, go to the conference, and we were oohed and awed. This generation, they're contributors. They want to be a part of it. They want to do the thing. They want, you know what I mean? Like, so I would even say, like, get them involved in whatever it is that you're doing, right? Like start to get that buy-in. Maybe even it's, hey, you get to run the YouTube video. Like, I know you're 14, but you know how to work YouTube. You know what I mean? Like, you're going to be our guy in the back. Like, you know what I mean?
Probably know how to do it better than me, right?
I mean, it only takes 30 minutes to turn a microphone on today. But
right, yeah.
But I mean, you know, so create buy-in. But you don't have to have the latest and greatest, man. You don't like, sometimes it's even if you do have the latest and greatest, I would encourage you to find opportunities to strip it all back. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And, you know, so I think just creating, a space is the most important. And if you've got a screen for a YouTube video and you can move some chairs so they can come up front and stand up, you know what I mean? Make it feel a little different maybe than a Sunday morning. Remove those chairs and those limits, right? Just create a unique space for them. But it's all about the space. It's not, yeah, you know, it's not about the lights and all that stuff. Sometimes that can be more distracting. Here's what I'm finding. I'm finding in this generation, like, they like the praise. It's cool. Like, but when we get to worship, when it's the less complicated, the more clear, that's when they connect, man. Like,
yeah,
less complicated and just be clear. Like, you don't even got to sing, you know, the song that has 7 verses and 18 chords. Like, you know, even if you start off with "Great are you, Lord," like whatever it is, like,
yeah,
like scale back, you know, what makes it so complicated and focus on how do we just make this clear and how do we create this, even if it's 5 minutes with a YouTube video, like dedicated space. Here's what we're going to do. How can we create buy-in? Maybe you have a student who opens up in prayer and then another student who's firing off the YouTube video. Like, now they're bought in. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah,
you know, that contributor mindset. Like, they don't want to just consume and watch. They want to do and be a part.
Yeah. Yeah. No. And I think that is so important to that. What you said is they want to be a part. We, you know, especially Gen Z and in Gen Alpha, we see it coming up is everything is about intentionality. It's all about those intentional connections and the intentional moments. And, you know, they want the authenticity, as you were talking about, of that. And there's nothing more authentic than connecting with God in a moment of worship. Mm. You know, that is like one of the purest moments of authenticity that we could have. And so, like, I love that. I love that we're having this conversation because I don't feel like this is often talked enough about in our circles of, you know, of the reality of worship and what it, you know, what it can do. And I mean, on a selfish end, and in, you know, you might be able to speak to this too, but I know for me on a very selfish end, it is a whole lot easier for me to come off the seat and preach after worship than it is to come in like right off of a game or come off of like announcements and speak. There is a connection there, even for me as the speaker, that helps cultivate, like, I don't know, just helps me be able to flow right into it. Like, do you find that as well?
Yeah, absolutely. I think it kind of goes back to the spirit and truth working together, right? I think there's something, I jokingly say, you know, like, worship leaders, we're not called to play the role of Michael Jordan. We're the Scottie Pippen in the equation. Yeah. That's an old school reference.
And if anyone doesn't know who that is, just go watch The Last Dance on Netflix. Yeah. You know exactly what we're talking about.
Yeah. And so, like, there's a setup that happens with worship that gets the word, kind of prepares the room and the hearts in the room for the word. And so, again, yeah, I think that's why it's so vital. It all works together in that process of softening a heart, preparing a heart to receive. You know, the word doesn't need, you know, God doesn't need us at all, right? The word doesn't need any, it doesn't need a pre-show, but there's just a truth behind it, I think, like a principle that's there, that when we can get it right and connect it in such a way that it does breathe life into what you're saying. And yeah, I mean, yeah, 100%. I want to come up out of the worship, bro. I want them still playing behind me, dude. I want to be the guy that's like, let's go back into the chorus, you know. I want to be that guy.
Sing it one more time.
Yeah. And the band's like, the click stop, what do we do? You know, no, I'm kidding. That's nerd talk. But yeah, there's something very powerful about it. And again, you know, even on a lower level, like even if it's just that video before the message, something about it, right? There's, you know, I look at the conversation. I'm rambling here, but
no, go ahead.
I look at the conversation between Peter and Jesus, and I quote this conversation a ton. It's just so powerful to me. Where there's an exchange that happens, where Jesus asks Peter, "Who do you say that I am?" You know, Peter goes down the list. He tells Jesus everything everyone else has said. Right? Mm-hmm. Some say you're a prophet. Some say, you know, you're this, you're that. And Jesus is like, no, I need you to tell me who you think that I am. And it's upon Peter's confession that you are the Messiah, you're the Son of God. It's upon Peter's confession, Peter's praise, if you will, that Jesus can give Peter his purpose and say, upon this rock, upon this truth, I'll establish my church. So there's a conversation that happens when we first praise God that then purpose can be revealed. Like it's, there's just something that happens there that worship blends itself so well to. We got to give God the praise first, and then it opens up opportunity for God to pour purpose into the room. It's just, I don't know the math behind it. I failed algebra, but there's something so powerful there. There's a recipe for greatness and a recipe for redemption when we put those two together.
Yeah, man. That is such a powerful illustration for us to be able to know that. And so, Johnny, thank you so much for being on this with me and just sharing in this conversation. Do me a favor, let everyone know about, number one, about your podcast. We want to be able to promote that, and then where they can all find you on socials.
Yeah, I thought I'd start a podcast like everyone else. No, I'm kidding. It's essentially just a church culture podcast that we realized that there's a lot of church kids out there having conversations that it started from conversations I was having with my friends. I was like, hey, people probably need to hear this stuff. Like this would probably help someone. So it's just the Johnny B podcast on all platforms, a social, the Johnny B. I recently accidentally went viral. I'm not going to say how or why.
Because why don't you let everybody know how you went viral? And when I mean like he went viral.
I'm going to circle all the way back. You just got to be authentic, right? Because I wasn't trying. I was just being me. I'm a dad. I was telling dad jokes before I was a dad, so that really isn't an excuse. But I live in Atlanta, and so we don't get real cold weather a lot. I know in PA, in Pennsylvania, like it's nothing but a thing, right? You're ready. Yeah. Your snow tires are ready. But in Georgia, if it gets below like 30 degrees, we do not know how to act. And apparently that day I did not know how to act. And so I woke up, I checked my phone, you know, and it's 12 degrees outside in Atlanta, 12, which is probably a sunny day for you in Pennsylvania. But and so I thought in my head, 12 degrees, one for every disciple. And I chuckled and I poured my coffee and I forgot all about it. And then that morning, our 9 o'clock service, there was we always do like a welcome, like a call to worship, a welcome kind of moment. And I don't know, I mean, if you're, a communicator in any way, you can probably relate to that moment where you just, you go blank and you don't know what to say. You've rehearsed it and you went through the run through all the whole thing, but you just blank. And so when I went blank, I defaulted to that bad dad joke. I told myself, 12 degrees, y'all, one for every disciple. And I thought, it's on the live stream. I'm going to get ahead of myself. I'm just going to post it. My mom will watch it. I'll get like 6 likes and we'll move on. 3.1 million views later. Like, and counting, dude. I can't. I don't even want to open my phone anymore. It's just crazy. But, you know, again, just be authentic, be you. The trolls will come for you. That's all right. We pray for them too.
That's it. Well, thank you so much. And hey, if you're tuning in, I want to encourage you, studentministryconversations.org. Check it out. A lot of great podcasts on there. And we have some great hosts talking to some great guests just about student ministry. I want to encourage you to check out all of our socials, Student Ministry Conversations. We're out there. I hope you got something out of this today. Johnny, again, thank you so much for being with us. And until next time, we'll see you later.